Hello and welcome to episode 196 of Travel Stories from the Back Again and Gone podcast, being recorded in the beautiful home office of Chateau Relaxo, Florida, and it's time for some March randomness. Thanks for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. If you are a returning listener, welcome back. Tonight I am enjoying a Space Cowboy with a I, not a Y, Space Cowboy 2023 from the Crooked Can Brewery just down the road in Winter Garden, Florida. This is an Imperial IPA. Actually, it's a double New England Imperial, very hazy, and it weighs in at a hefty 8.3 APV. So it's been 3 weeks of nonstop travel, just like I was in 2019. It was great to be out on the road. The first trip was into Irvine, California, where base camp was a Doubletree for a few days. And I was lucky enough to score an upgrade, which ended up being a typical room, but a typical room with a view of the hotel's lake. There was only one hiccup with the stay, and that occurred the morning of our departure. The night before, the front desk had arranged for a complimentary Uber to take us to the airport at 6 a.m. Out front a little bit before 6 a.m., no Uber. 6:10, no Uber. 6:20, I'm getting ready to book my own Uber, when an Uber pulled up and asked if we were the Harrison party, and nope, we weren't. The driver waited a few minutes for the Harrisons and then asked where we were going. I said to the airport, and he said, I'll take you for $20 cash. Seconds later, we were in the Uber heading toward John Wayne International Airport, and it was one less expense report receipt that I had to deal with. So the beers that we discovered in Irvine, California, Mind Haze Brain Melter from the Firestone Walker Brewing Company, Montucky Cold Snack from the Montucky Cold Snacks Brewery, and finally Church Music from the Shop Beer Company. All of these IPAs, as I am so predictable. From there, it was a place I had never been to, Tempe, Arizona, and Tempe was exactly as I pictured it to be. Lots of cacti, very little grass, mostly lava and pebbles. The highlight of the stop was a courtside seat for the Phoenix Suns game. And while I'm not a huge basketball fan, the game as well as the halftime entertainment was a blast. Now, the low light of this part of the trip came early the next morning at the Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport. I went down what was indicated to be the TSA pre-check, and when I got to the scanners, I was asked to remove my shoes and my belt, as well as take my laptops out of my backpack. So what I thought and what they indicated to be TSA pre-check was not. It was the standard TSA lane. And we'll talk about being a travel snob in a few minutes, but I will pull the snooty snobbery card whenever it comes to TSA. Only one new beer on that leg, Four Peaks Hazy IPA from Headlands Brewing. The next week, it was back to LaGuardia and, of course, into New Jersey and the Hampton Inn and Suites on Route 46, which meant dinner at Calandra's Mediterranean Grill, made in time for happy hour as well as their $11 pizzas. Now, getting into LaGuardia, it was my second flight on JetBlue, and on both legs, I had an assigned seat, but I was placed in the last boarding group. And I learned from the first leg and decided to check my luggage for the return trip home. It was a direct flight. I knew it was a roll of the dice, but I just didn't want to have to deal with the overhead space. A handful of new beers on this trip, Pirate Plank Walk from Magnify Brewing Company. And I've been to Magnify. They're not too far outside of Fairfield, New Jersey. Pulp Art Hazy Double IPA from the Brooklyn Brewing. Mortal Bloom from Founders Brewing Company. IPA number 7 from Ebb's Brewing Company, and finally Jam Juicy Hazy IPA from Captain Lawrence Brewing Company. Again, all IPAs. And then last week it was a 5-day road trip, which I enjoyed, but a different hotel each night can get a little bit of a grind. I did get plenty of time to perfect my ironing skills as I was unpacking and repacking the next morning. And here's a road warrior pro tip. If you plan to use the hotel iron, let it warm up, grab a washcloth, get it damp, and iron the washcloth. That way the gribblies are on the washcloth and not on your freshly ironed clothes. So I flew into Baltimore, grabbed my rental, and headed to Pensacon, New Jersey. This was about a 2-hour drive, and it proved to me once again that I-95 is a giant cup of suck, no matter what state you're in. I stayed at another Doubletree, and it was one that I'd stayed at before, And thankfully, it was undergoing some renovations as it had looked a little bit long in the tooth on my last visit. And the reason I stay here is because of their on-site restaurant, Red's. And Red's, hands down, offers up the best Philly cheesesteak, even though it's across the river from Philly, where Philly cheesesteaks are simply called a cheesesteak. Always a solid meal, always good choice of beers, and the new beer on that part of the leg was a Session IPA from Double Nickel Brewing Company. From Pensacon, it was down to York, Pennsylvania, home of York Barbell in the Weightlifting Hall of Fame, which I did not get to visit. But there must be some sort of rivalry between Pensacon and York, because everyone in Pensacon told us that York was just totally run down and busted. Not the case at all. Plus, York is where we found Brewy Louie's, and Brewy Louie's is amazing. They have a more diverse beer inventory than I have ever seen anywhere, including a huge walk-in beer cave. And the new beers for that trip was No Santa from Sloop Brewing Company, Peacemaker from South County Brewing Company, and again, both IPAs. From York, it was down to Middle River, Maryland, in the Hilton Garden Inn that I've stayed at multiple times in the past. No new beer since we were stocked up from our Brewy Louie's trip the day before, and as I typically do with Hilton Garden Inn, it was wings for dinner. And I've said this many, many times, they have the best wings hands down, and this is a pro tip from friend of the show, Robbie Morris. Next time you're at a HGI property, try the wings. You will not be disappointed. Now, this is where things got a little weird, especially when it comes to hotel parking. In the past, this property offered up plenty of parking spaces between the Hilton Garden Inn and the Hampton Inn next door. This visit, there were several signs with QR codes instructing us to scan so we could pay to park. I get pay-to-park hotels. You go to Boston, Savannah, Miami, more than likely you're going to have to pay to park. But this was Middle River, Maryland. So I scanned the code and dropped 10 bucks plus a service fee so I could park. From Middle River, we headed to the BWI Hilton, where they also had a QR code indicating we had to pay for parking. Not a big deal because we were dropping off our luggage and delivering the rental car back to the rental car lot. I think Maryland as a state is kneeling down to the big parking lobby or something. Now, this was a first time visit and the restaurant offered a great selection of local favorites. I went with a blue crab flatbread. I was a bit skeptical, thinking typical hotel food. I was completely surprised. This flatbread was covered in chunks of blue crab resting on top of this wonderful rich and creamy Alfredo sauce. Two new beers on this leg of the trip, Raging Bitch from the Flying Dog Brewery, and Half Cab Hazy from Big Truck Farm Brewery. Now here's another tip that I have picked up in the last few months. Most of my flights are early morning flights, say 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. And the reason is that first flights typically take off on time. If you punch out at 4 or 5 p.m. in the afternoon, there's a greater chance that your flight will be delayed from earlier in the day. And when you look at early morning flights, it can mean leaving the hotel at 4 or 5 a.m. just so you can have time to drop off your rental car and then head to the terminal. So my new tip is to gas up the rental car, drop it off at the rental car stop the evening before, take the rental car shuttle back to the airport, and then get on the hotel shuttle at the airport and head back to the hotel. Then the next morning, take the hotel shuttle back to the terminal. At most, this will cost you probably $8, and especially at BWI, the trip between the rental car center and the airport has got to be at least 12 to 15 minutes. So let's start with some travel-related housekeeping. This I found on X, or formerly Twitter, back in the good old days. Remember the fail whale? So at Cody_Sanchez posted, "Life hack, you never have to check out of a hotel, just leave. Why does no one do this, including my husband?" Way back in episode 66, I asked the question, are you a travel snob? And I listed as one of those indicators of being a travel snob was leaving a hotel without stopping by the front desk. Same thing with a rental car, just drop it off. Well, I rarely hang around for a receipt, especially at the rental car, because I know it's going to be in the inbox by the time I get to the terminal. While I still wouldn't label myself a travel snob, I have gotten into the habit of actually checking out of hotels. And the main reason that I do this is because Hilton is now giving you $15 a day credit, but it has to go charge back to your room. So what that means is when you get your receipt. It's going to have the hotel room plus your dinner plus any snacks that you got. So I have found it much easier to actually check out of the hotel and then ask for two receipts, one with the hotel charges and the other one with all the incidentals. I pay incidentals out of my own pocket, and the hotel receipt with just the room and taxes goes back to corporate. Also, I don't check into a hotel using the app, and the reason for that is I might miss out on getting a possible upgrade and a view of the hotel's lake. Last month, Gary Leaf from View from the Wing posted the 5 biggest travel mistakes I've ever made, and Gary's list was somewhat mundane but relatable. The first one was showing up at the airport in the afternoon for a morning Sydney flight. One time he says he snuck into the United Airlines Club Lounge. Number 3, showed up at the Novotel Bangkok Hotel, only to learn that he had made reservations for the following month. I can relate to that. Drove to the wrong Hyatt in Miami, but out of sheer habit. Finishing up with letting his American Airline Advantage miles expire when he was a teenager. So I thought about it for a little bit, and my list was somewhat similar. Early on in my travel careers, I let a bunch, and I mean a bunch, of AirTran free flights expire because I never used them. One free round trip required 16 credits or legs, which meant for every 8 round trip flights, I got a new flight. At the time, I was on a plane almost every single week, basically a free flight every 30 days. Number 2, I've talked about this before, not getting a hotel or airline branded credit card for the first 8 years of business travel. Number 3, not taking my 35mm or DSLR camera with me when I traveled. For years, the CEO and I packed a physical camera, sometimes a tripod, with us when we traveled. My Google Drive is filled with folders cataloging our adventures, and it's debatable if the current iPhone truly takes better pictures, but it is smaller and lighter, and you don't have to check Instagram on your camera. Number 4, not having a packing strategy sooner. For the first handful of years, like most baby road warriors, I overpacked. And being a gadget guy, I probably owned or was gifted every single travel accessory under the sun, which most of which turned out to be useless. Currently, I can fit a week's worth of clothing into my 22-inch Away bag. Side note, if you need a sturdy piece of luggage, consider going with Away. Lightweight and extremely durable. Number 5, one of my other regrets is not putting in for a half-day PTO when I was in Boston or Memphis or Chicago, almost any city. Sure, I've enjoyed eating a dinner at the local dive, but I've yet to tour Fenway, visit Graceland, and I've never set foot on Chicago's Miracle Mile. And I'm going to add a 6th one, and this is just because of, in the last 3 weeks, make sure that you are in the TSA pre-check line and not the regular TSA line. They say, avoid regrets by leaving your expectations at home. I'm not sure if I agree with that. Another one from View from the Wing, or maybe you've seen this somewhere else, but woman gets off American Airlines flight when the vibrator in her carry-on won't turn off. See what I did there? My BS meter pegged the green as soon as I read this. An American Airlines passenger in the bulkhead of first class boarded her aircraft, and her carry-on bag began making a loud vibrating noise. She didn't want the whole cabin to see what she was turning off, so she walked off the aircraft and back onto the jet bridge, and there, if you look at the video, you can see what was actually vibrating. So basically, looking at the video, she was planning to do the tango with her left hand. Now, the young lady captured in the video is Amanda, who has a TikTok following of over 100,000 people, in addition to the 2.5 million likes. And I'm guessing this was staged to get Amanda closer to the 2.6 million likes. However, with this story, as it always is, the real comedy gold is in the comments. Mets fan in NC says, "It takes a licking and keeps on ticking." Marilyn says, "I've been told by a friend that the batteries on rechargeables are not removable, so they must have gotten off before the boarding." And ending with INS saying, "That is just Bob, battery-operated boyfriend." For most of us, our employment includes dealing with some sort of customer. And I'm sure most of us at some point have wanted to tell a customer to go kick rocks, so to speak. This next story will outline what could happen if you decide to tell a customer to kick rocks, except using different words. This comes from Yahoo News. Qantas baggage handler will never work again for airline after crude note to passenger. A Qantas passenger recently collected their 31-kilogram bag at the Carutha Airport in Western Australia. And in case you didn't pay attention to the metric system when they tried to teach it to us in middle school, 31 kilograms is roughly 69, maybe 70 pounds. Well, this passenger found the word C blank blank T, just think of see you next Tuesday, shockingly scribbled in green marker onto the heavy tag wrapped around the bag's handle. And if that wasn't enough, it was accentuated with an actual exclamation point. The passenger went on to share, clearly the Qantas baggage handler at the Perth airport wasn't happy lifting my bag, so he left me a nice note to read on arrival. After being alerted to the incident, Qantas via social media condemned the act and took the drastic measures to ensure it will never happen again by firing said baggage handler. And while I've never flown Qantas, I've heard it stands for quick and nasty, typical Australian service. One of my favorite social media follows is at Atlanta Scoops, and their tagline is be in the know. If you're considering moving to the ATL proper, I suggest you check this site out before you pull the trigger and order a U-Haul. Their February 5th post and video documents an altercation between an unarmed female and two of Atlanta's finest at the Atlanta Hartsfield Airport. Nothing unusual, except this took place on the apron. Yes, the apron, and not in the airport's gate area. Now, the video shows this young lady speaking with two officers, and then she suddenly throws her head back and begins trotting, not running, but trotting away from the officers. Seconds later, one of the officers catches up and gives her a two-hand shove to the back, which ends up with her receiving an asphalt sandwich to the face. The officer rewards her with a nice set of shiny cuffs before being whisked into the back of an ATL SUV. And all of this was done in under 45 seconds. Very efficient work by the ATL police. What's missing is why are the passengers even on the airport apron, especially at Hartsfield? Honestly, this lady who wasn't very fast or isn't very fast is lucky. Lucky in the fact that she did not get shot or at least tased. The airport is federal property. She's also lucky she did not end up like Courtney Edwards, who was pulled into the spinning turbines of a jet engine just last year. If you're an umbrophile, and an umbrophile is someone that loves eclipses and will often travel to see them, if you have some spare change and you're an umbrophile, Delta has a deal for you. And it's listed as eclipse viewing at 30,000 feet, Delta to offer Path of Totality flight. So the airline is offering a special flight from Austin to Detroit on April 8th, 2024, specifically to spend as much time possibly in the direct path of the eclipse. Delta's flight 1218 will be operated on an A220-300, which offers especially premium viewing due to the aircraft's extra large windows. The flight departs Austin at 12:15 Central Time and will land in Detroit at 4:20 p.m., time to give those on board the best chance of safely viewing the solar eclipse at its peak. So if this sounds appealing, Flight 1218 was sold out early February. However, there were five additional Delta flights from various airports that still provide some sort of an eclipse viewing opportunity. The prices were ranging $600 for the main cabin up to $2,800 for first class. The April 8th eclipse is the last total eclipse that we'll see over North America until 2044, so take that, all you umbrophiles. So here's my lingering question. Isn't only one side of the plane going to have the opportunity to see the eclipse? And I can only imagine what would happen if all the passengers sitting on the non-viewing side of the plane suddenly moved over to the other side of the plane. This next story has Thank You Florida written all over it. It's about our Brightline train. And if you're not familiar with the Brightline, it's a high-speed train that went live right around 2018 with service between Miami and West Palm Beach. In September, the Brightline began traveling all the way here to O-Town with the termination point, the Orlando International Airport, more specifically Terminal C. And if you want to take the Brightline from O-Town into Fort Lauderdale, a standard ticket will set you back right around $100, and that's for their smart fare. But for an additional $40, you can take advantage of the premium fare, which includes complimentary snacks, complimentary beverages, and relax at their premium lounge. The trip It'll take right around 3 hours, which is definitely faster than driving it. And this sounds great, especially for the passengers, doesn't it? Well, it's not so great that there have been numerous incidents involving motorists, pedestrians, and cyclists being struck on the tracks when the train passed. 100 deaths connected to Brightline operations since 2017. Just in January 10th and 12th, three people were killed in two separate incidents at the same crossing in Melbourne, Florida. In case you were wondering, there have been no onboard fatalities as a consequence of these accidents. Amtrak runs the same O-Town to Fort Lauderdale route, and they haven't reported anywhere close to the same number of fatalities. Brightline runs on the FEC, which is the Florida East Coast Railway tracks, and Amtrak runs on the CSX tracks. And I'm not a safety expert, but someone needs to examine all of the Brightline road crossings. Well, there you have it, episode 196, The March Randomness. If you want detailed show notes, links, and pictures, head over to podpage.com/travel-stories. Visit Substack at travelstories.substack.com. Leave me a message on Anchor. Shoot me an email, travelfrick@gmail.com. That's travelfrick@gmail.com. As I always say, travel safe, stay safe, and thanks for listening.